Boomer in the Morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. After 30 years taking care of the Delson Outdoor Rink, Walter Gerba knows about ice. See ATB surprise him with $5,000 at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Who's this guy?
That's Jason DeForest.
The other guy.
I read.
That's Jason.
Yeah, that's Jason for sure.
He's got the beard. He's here every day.
Every day.
I'll take the odd Wednesday off.
Is that one of the burger guys?
Jay, who's... Is there someone else in there with you?
Yes, yeah, so I've got our practicum student beside me.
Okay.
What does practicum mean?
I don't know.
It's part of his schooling. Part of his getting a...
I'm going to school.
A book diploma. Learning. Doing some of that book learning.
Getting your grade 12? What's happening?
Certificate.
It's... he's helping out, I guess. Or just seeing how we do things.
He's very helpful. Spilled ketchup on his shirt.
Yeah.
Would you like to ask him his name?
What's your name?
Yeah.
Andrew Walker.
Excuse me?
Andrew Walker.
Nothing but great things ahead, Andrew.
This goes back a long time. I remember when I got the email from Jason, because Jay kind of handles the, you know, Mount Royal and students coming mm-hmm. through and doing all that, and we like
He's
to help
big,
out as best we can.
Bison's fan.
And he was very excited to send me an email saying that we have a student coming in to do a practicum, and his name is Andrew Walker. And then Kirsch is like, yeah, I think we just took him because his name is Andrew Walker.
It's funny. Yeah.
So does Andrew Walker know about Andrew Walker?
I believe he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
He says he's gotten this for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's elite company you're in.
Young hockey player named Wayne Gretzky.
It's definitely
coming up through the ranks.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's a perfect analogy.
Andrew Walker is certainly the Wayne Gretzky of sports radio.
Well, maybe he will be after he gets his practicum.
He's got the nose for it.
He's not going to get his practicum.
What do you mean?
He's doing his practicum.
Doesn't need to get it. He's already got it.
It's a school thing, right?
Bob Hartley let go by members of the Calgary Flames. There was something I was going to ask you in the commercial break because it was so controversial and so out there that I didn't want to throw it out there for fear of you...
putting me on the spot.
And I forgot what I was going to ask
Excellent.
You. Good burger, though.
Excellent burger.
I love that
burger.
Sauce.
It's real good.
Spicy. They literally left a pile of burgers and then all the fixings around. I didn't realize until I turned the corner how... You know, gluttonous it is. Yeah. It's sensational.
Do you think this will come back to you? Or is this a
I don't know.
That's one of those.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. There's so many things that are kind of off the record that I don't. I mean, the fact, and I think it's for people to hear now that Bob Hartley was disliked. Oh well, now you guys are piling on. Why didn't we hear any of this while he was here? It's off the record. You don't talk about these things. There's no benefit in it. And maybe there's no benefit in it now. What we're saying, or at least what I'm saying, I think what we're saying is there were circumstances that led to this. This is not, and yeah, is it a year after he won the coach of the year? Yeah, but Brad Treliving's not some nut bar who decides to fire everybody's favorite coach. Someone who's beloved in the room and the guys love playing for. That just wasn't the case here. Yeah. And you know what? Bob Hartley knows that.
And it's not just because he was disliked and he wasn't disliked by everyone. I mean, it's a complicated thing. And Treliving went about his business and made a decision. And he's the boss. And Hartley's gone. And it is what it is. And it's not a be nice contest.
Yeah. Now, Pinder, you mentioned it yesterday about a certain player.
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared to go with that?
Well, I don't even remember where I heard it, but I recall the deadline last year.
But you've
year.
Heard...
I've heard it.
Braden Colburn, Flyers defenseman, gets moved to Tampa. And he was a guy that was on the market. You know, Pittsburgh wasn't great, or Philly wasn't great.
Braden Colburn.
That's if I recall it correctly.
Yeah.
And so he's a guy that's going to be moved to the deadline, and word got out, oh, the one thing with his contract is he's got it in writing that he cannot be traded to a team coached by Bob Hartley. I'd never heard of that before.
Because remember, he played for him in Atlanta.
Yes.
And there was, hey, Colburn, he would come to Calgary.
And they made a terrible trade in Atlanta to move him out of there for Alexei Zhitnik in Philly.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Because he was in that FNUF draft. He went before FNUF, right?
I think so. Yeah. Suter, Colburn, FNUF, 5, 6, 7.
So what does that mean? Well, that means Braden Colburn doesn't like Bob Hartley. So does everybody not like Bob Hartley? No, I'm sure there's some guys that really enjoyed playing for Bob.
But what it does tell you is that he disliked him so much that he got it in his contract. I'd never heard of that before. That's out there.
I didn't know you could put it in there.
And maybe you can't, but that was the story that went around.
Yeah. So what if they hire him while you're there? Do they then have to automatically trade you? I'm not sure.
Work things out. It's not the thing for me is making sure that this... It's not coming across as piling on Bob Hartley. It has nothing to do with us. I'm trying to give you some insight as to reasons why.
Yeah.
There's a difference, and I don't think there's huge difference in philosophies, but obviously there was a difference in philosophies. Obviously there was exit interviews. There was things that would have been said in those. We won't ever know what was, but it had to play part of it. It wasn't Treliving and Burke's hire. That plays a part of it.
You've talked to players, and I'll leave it this way. You have talked to players who, upon their departure from Calgary, were quite happy to no longer deal with Bob Hartley.
I don't think it's a secret that a guy like Curtis Glencross was more than happy to get away from Bob Hartley.
That was public that those two weren't seeing.
I mean, it's so.
And there's more. And there's going back to almost when Bob first got here.
Oh, years, yes.
First year here was the locker year. They dumped all the vets that year. They weren't buying in on this whole full practices,
guys,
long game day skates.
Guys wanted out. And again, is it bad to have work ethic? No, it's not. Is it bad for Hartley? Hey, he did it his way. Give the man credit. He didn't sense that he was in trouble and then back off. Down the stretch, he put out the lineup he figured was going to win the game every night. That's his way. Give him credit for that. That the players didn't like it, just don't be shocked. And is that on the players or is that on the coach? That's for people to decide.
I wonder if future negotiations involving their two young stars had any sort of influence on this, because there's not often a time when players can exert some leverage on the hockey club, but this is a unique situation. If you're going to Johnny and Sean Monahan and saying, we'd like to get max term deals, all of a sudden they're going to have a say of, well, you know what, long term I'll listen to, but here are the things I want to see changed, or I'd prefer short term. I mean, I'm not saying that's happening, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if I heard that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're, and not walking in there saying, hey, I want a new coach, but say they know for this team to be good, that coach has to be able to work with Monahan, Gaudreau, Bennett, and have a great relationship with them, because those are the backs that you're going to be riding.
Yes.
Fan feedback line, somebody saying, lies. If there were players, if players disliked, they'd have let him go after the last game, so I call bull. Here's the situation.
That's wrong. That's so
here's
bad.
The situation.
Don't read those texts.
I mean, this is nothing we've talked about yet. If you're going to fire Bob Hartley, if you're Brad Treliving, you'd best get approval from your ownership, because you have to pay him $2 million not to coach.
Yes.
And then pay another coach to come in. And right now, I know that the economic and everything being what it is, I'm sure the Flames owners aren't crazy about spending $2 million for Bob Hartley to sit somewhere else. So, and Brian Burke talked about it on Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan yesterday. You have your exit meetings with the players. You have your internal meetings. You make your decision. You then go to ownership. They went to ownership on Friday after all of it was done. And they got the word Monday night.
Here's what I was more shocked at. Not yesterday's firing, the extension that was signed when it was signed, I felt there was no need to sign that extension at that point of in time.
Yeah.
In a losing streak.
Yes. I had no, that's what surprised me.
I just completely scatterbrained. Give me 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just saying,
eat that bloody burger and lose my mind.
It's a hell of a burger.
We were outraged people yesterday and surprised people. And wow, this was kind of out of left field. Well, out of left field for me was when they signed him as well. It was like, huh, at this point in time, do we really think we need to make this? And to the text, absolutely not. Here's you have to wait and evaluate. What's the rush in firing them the next day?
On locker cleanout day, Brad Treliving said, we're going to do evaluations of everyone. And he said, included himself on the list. All management, all coaches, all players. But he also said, we need to cool off. We don't want to be judging and recording results and filing these final reports when we're still emotional. It needs to be logical. The process has to be sound. And for that to happen, there need to be a cooling off period. So if you're going to do a full evaluation of everyone in the organization, you need to cool off a bit and you're going to need to go to your ownership for approval. I don't think this timeline is that crazy at all.
And I think it's also worth mentioning that I don't think Brad Treliving fired Bob Hartley because the guys didn't like him.
No,
that's not it. It's part of it.
He said as much
yesterday that there's a style of play that he and Brian Burke subscribe to, or at least he subscribes to. And I'll give him credit. He went out of his way to take this on himself yesterday. How many times did he say, I made the decision, this is my call. This is on him, and he made it well known. But the fact that the players maybe didn't like him, or in fact didn't like him, that's not why you fire a coach. And he talked about puck possession. You got to have the puck. You got to play a certain way. And Bob just doesn't employ that system or that strategy. His is a dump and chase, however you want to look at it, but that's what it's about. You take that, plus the what's he doing in the room, what's our win-loss record, how's our special teams, and then do the guys like him?
Yeah. Treliving and Burke and the bosses are not watching interviews and making their decisions based on personality. And
I don't think they like him. Yeah, fire him. Well, we'll go to the owners and get them on a Skype and tell them, you know what? The guys don't really like him. So we're hoping you'd be okay if we fire him and you pay him $2 million next year to not be here. That don't fly.
No, sir.
That dog don't hunt.
That too.
Yeah.
So now the question is, who are the candidates? Does it have to be a name?
No.
Are there, you know, Boudreau will lead the list because not often the winningest coach in regular season history is available.
Is that history all time?
Yes.
All time winningest regular season. Yeah.
Which is funny because everyone talks about, well, he's nice and he's had some good teams. Like there's a lot of coaches that have had good teams.
He more has than the Scotty best. Bowman?
Yes.
Wow.
That guy's out there. And I don't know that it's a slam dunk. I don't think it is, but you have to at least talk with the guy if he hasn't signed elsewhere. Right?
Due diligence.
Winningest coach, NHL history, regular season. You have to talk to that guy.
I would think so.
Now, Eric Francis said yesterday, for what it's worth, and that came out wrong.
Wow.
I didn't mean it that way at all.
What do you mean?
I mean, if I said it for what I just meant he feels that Bruce Boudreau is going to be the next coach of the team. I don't know that if he's got inside knowledge on it, but you look at where the Ducks were in power play and their special teams. They were number one in both. His winning percentage, as you said, players all seem to like him. You talk to guys at the AHL level and the NHL level. He's a likable guy.
Our boy Pete texted in the other day.
Pete Vandermeer loved him. It's one guy. One guy's opinion. So is Francis. So is mine. But I feel like that maybe isn't the fit. I don't know.
If he was, I feel like they would have just done it all in one swoop then.
Mm.
And let's not forget, being the winningest coach, regular season all time, probably allows Bruce Boudreau a little bit of leeway as to where he wants to go.
Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah. Oh, you want me?
Has 3, 4, 5 Well,
are there other teams out there that might be looking for
only
a
all
coach?
Of them? Yeah. Yeah. Ottawa, Minnesota, maybe St. Louis if things don't end well here in the second round.
What's up with Hitch if they lose?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so don't.
Yeah.
There's always two sides.
He's got family in the Ottawa area. Apparently, a lot of people are making those connections. He's going to be coveted everywhere there's an opening, minus Anaheim, obviously.
We get very caught up in all things Calgary. Sometimes lose sight that, there's other places to do this, especially for a guy that has that resume.
He said to the Ducks players, Dehatchik referenced it the other day, like, okay, I'm gunned here if we don't win this year, guys. This is when they're having that funk in the first half of the year. If you think I'm a guy you don't like playing for, wait till the next guy comes in. I'm going to be way nicer than the next guy. And it was an interesting point because it's in contrast to what we've seen here. But yeah. Wouldn't it be crazy if the Ducks got Hartley? I mean, we don't like playing for Boudreaux. Well, how are you going to like this guy? Oh. Players get a little more leverage.
Fun.
Players. We will... We'll break here. Things before we hit the top of the hour. We will have what you want to talk about. We'll do the Pinder Report, get you caught up on other things that are taking place. The Raptors, exciting.
Apparently, that's supposedly what Andrew Walker was gabbing about.
God, just when you think you're rid of him, another one comes back. Yeah, it's like The Godfather. You think you're out and you get pulled back in. Rob Kerr, when we come back, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Walter Gerba, 80-year-old ice maker, caretaker, wisecracker, and ATB's fourth home ice hero. Watch him win $5,000 at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I've heard those city singers singing about how they can love deeper than the oceans, higher than the stars above. Well, I come from
Hi,
the
Rhett.
Country.
Hello.
And I know I ain't
because I know you're one of those people.
But I heard that
may the 4th be with you.
You know what? Text $5 to the Red Cross for that. That's embarrassing.
That's right.
30333. Red Cross.
30333. Text the word Red Cross. Automatic $5 donation to the effort.
Texting us all day. You may as well text them too.
Don't text me May the 4th.
Get a headbutt?
Absolutely.
That's maybe what we could do to raise some money is, you know, how kind of that toilet thing. It's like, if you don't want to, you're going to get a headbutt from Rhett Warner.
Yes.
Unless you spend $75, that will guarantee you will not get a headbutt. And then you can pass a headbutt on to somebody on. Would you be in for that? So it could be a lot of headbutts.
Well, I got a
busy day.
I got a soft skull.
Yeah. Bring your mush.
Make the road.
Our next guest went above and beyond yesterday. On short notice, left a very important meeting, went down to the Saddle Dome.
Shook off the hangover. Went down here, I'll headbutt.
Went to the Saddle Dome, Bob Hartley press conference on short notice, then fire alarm for the Dome.
Kicked him out.
Smoking.
He got the boot, continued on like there was nothing, like nobody's business outside. Rob Kerr, well done.
Thanks, sir. So hey, who's the artist of the day? That sounds familiar.
It is Randy Travis.
It is? Okay.
Randy, I will fight you in the church parking lot after the service, Travis.
There is that. He's kind of fallen a little off the face of the earth, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's... you can find his pictures in police mugshots.
Mugshot lines, yeah. So, yesterday was bizarre, to say the least.
Yeah. The firing, it's weird. So were you surprised? That's the question people ask.
Yeah.
In some ways, like, no, because I don't know that he was getting a contract after this year was done. I thought he'd start the season. So not blindsided, but whenever something of that magnitude happens, you're always kind of startled, I guess, is the way to put it.
Yeah, but I guess how I explained it, was I shocked? No. Was I surprised? Yeah. I mean, I was not expecting it yesterday. You know, kudos to Ryan. I thought, you know, it seemed like he was ahead of the curve on Monday when he was asking Elliott, you know, about Bruce Boudreau and whether or not he'd force anybody to make a move. And I don't believe that was the case here. I think it's more coincidental, but at least he was on the scent a little bit. And I think Eric Francis was another guy that asked a pointed question at the end of the year to the general manager about, you know, the coach, and there was no clear answer. And Eric's brought it up on a couple of occasions. Have we heard, you know, have we heard? And you guys have been around long enough. We all know how it works around here. This is, you know, outside of Brent, who basically left pretty close to right at the end of the year. I mean, you go all the way back to when, you know, Jim Playfair was hired. He was hired after the draft in Vancouver. You know, when Jim Playfair was let go, that was in June when Mike Keenan came in. Keenan was let go, I think, later in May. This is, you know, a team, at least in its recent history, that has usually taken some time, some sober second thought, gone out and thought about things. So shocked, no. Surprised, yes, by the timing. And I got to be honest with you, if you had any inkling in the back of your head that, well, we'll give them 10 games or 20 games, or we better have something ready, then do this. Move on now. If it's not working, move on now. It's better for everybody.
Right decision was made as far as moving on. Is the next guy going to get more out of this team?
You'd like to think so. You'd like to think so. I mean, you'd like to believe the theory that was posed yesterday is he got him as far as he could take him. Now he's got to get, you know, somebody else has got to come in and bring him to the next level. But let's be perfectly honest, it's all predicated by getting a goaltender. And not a goaltender, you know, somebody with equipment and pads. I have that. But a goaltender that can be, you know, a bona fide number one in this league. I think you got to quit farting around with tandems. I'm sorry. I've been, you know, biting my tongue. I've been patient. Okay, tandems. Look at how's that tandem in Dallas working?
Awful.
You got to go out and get a bona fide number one and a guy who can back up. That's what they've got to get. And if they get that and they get a guy, you know, I don't know. Sorry, I apologize because I'm not sure about this. But around the table there, is everybody convinced it's Boudreau coming in?
No. I am not.
No.
Are okay. You?
No.
Yeah, no, that's 4-for-4 on the no.
Okay. But I do think it's likely going to follow that age-old pattern of hard-ass player's coach, I should say. And, you know, I can't help but think whoever comes in here is going to be, in that regard, somewhat different than, you know, what Bob Hartley was.
Isn't anyone they hire going to be not as much of a hard as Bob Hartley? Like, is there a guy that asked more out of his players than Bob in terms of that relentless, never quit, you know, these guys have emotions, but I don't care, I want more?
Is Mark Crawford different than Bob Hartley?
I don't think he ever coaches in the league again, so I just... You know.
Well, but he's one of the names that is out there, Ryan, so, I mean, you know, could he be hired? Yeah, he could be hired. Do I think there are guys out there like Bob Hartley? Yes, I do. I think Bob Hartley works again, for what that's worth. But what I'm wondering about is, you know, go ahead.
I think there's going to be a trend to bring in new blood around the NHL. I think we're finding it with the GMs and the new stat systems and the way they analyze games and break down players and put teams together. You're starting to see that. And I think that they're going to start implementing new coaches that follow somewhat of that philosophy. I don't know if this recycling of coaches that we've seen so often is going to continue. And not also, that Boudreau's not, he's going to get a job, but.
And I'll throw this out there, and it's just because I just read it. Ben Kuzma from the province in Vancouver has a speculatory piece this morning that there's a bit of buzz. Calgary could be considering Travis Green of the Utica Comets. That, of course, the farm team of the Vancouver Canucks. He will have coached Hunter Shinkaruk.
Yep.
And he would be one of those guys that would be new blood. His quote yesterday about, this is Travis Green, I think as far as being an NHL head coach, I think I'm ready. Every job in the NHL is worth its weight in gold, and I would have 100% interest at options with every team in the league. You hope all your qualities are enticing for one of them.
So let me ask you this, and Ryan, I'm particularly curious about your perspective on this. What about Ryan Huska? Okay. You've got John Cooper in Tampa that spent some time in the American Hockey League, albeit one was successful and won a Calder Cup there. And then when he got the job, he airlifted those seven kids in and already had that built-in, you know, relationship with those guys. And you even talked to the veterans down there that year. The rookies were leading the drills because they knew what Cooper wanted. You look in Pittsburgh. Now, Mike Sullivan has NHL experience, I'll grant you that, and hadn't been in Wilkes-Barre Scranton very long. But when he got the job, all of a sudden he's inserted a bunch of guys from that team, Matt Murray being the biggest one, and they have a trust and a faith there. Is there going to be an appetite to try and recreate that here with Ryan Huska? Is it too quick? Is it too soon?
I think the big difference would be that he had success at every single level he'd coached at before. Huska hasn't had that at the AHL level yet.
Right.
I don't see him as a sexy candidate like Cooper was at that time, because Cooper just went everywhere and won, and everyone that met the guy said, you know, this guy could sell you a ketchup popsicle. He was that, you know, convincing. I don't get that sense of Huska, though I do think he's a really good coach.
What about you guys?
He's not the guy who's not ready.
Okay.
That
seems to be the general consensus, but... You know, you talked about trends, and I think that's, you can't look past that trend of maybe, bringing in a guy you like. You know, the part of the Travis Green conversation is the fact that, you know, they're going to give Willie Desjardins more time in Vancouver, and that's fine. But you got, you know, a guy over-ripening, whatever you want to call it, in the American Hockey League. In fairness, the guys over-ripening in the American Hockey League that have gone to different organizations recently, not all of them, but, you know, the Guy Boucher's burned real hot and bright for a little bit and then left. Todd Richards, you know, was the Mr. Everybody. Everybody wanted him. He went to Minnesota. That didn't work out right away. You know, that doesn't always work either. So I'm just kind of curious about, you know, whether or not you try and recreate some of the magic that other teams have had by bringing up your own guy.
Well, John Hines worked out all right. I thought year one in Jersey, but
yeah.
All these guys start in the A. Like, it's, I don't know how many guys get to this league that haven't coached in the A. There'd be a few major guys, but I guess the thing is that all these legends that we talk about is the greatest ever. You know, we referenced Bruce's winning percentage is the highest amongst coaches that have coached more than 3 years in the NHL in the regular season. He was an AHL coach forever.
Forever.
Yep. He was a nobody when he got to the league.
Yep.
But you're right about the goaltending, Rob. I mean, you look at if Brad Treliving hires Ryan Huska as the head coach and pulls a deal for Carey Price, Huska will be one of the smartest coaches in the league.
Absolutely.
Right?
100%. 100%. And, you know, you look at who, and this is not my idea, but it's been expressed to me on a couple of occasions, who has a greater workload this summer right now? Not only does he volunteer to help co-general manage the team in the World Championships for Hockey Canada, now he's got to find a coach. He's got to sign his two most prominent young players. He's got to find a goaltender. He has a mittful of restricted free agents. He has to find goaltending, probably not just one. Still needs to address the wing here. Just watched his draft stock fall one spot. You know, is waiting on another draft pick in Dallas to see, you know, if is that going to be a first or second round. You know, there's a lot to do for Brad Treliving in that hockey ops department this summer. They, you know, and quite honestly, the problem with most of it is they can't afford to miss on it. You know, there's not much in there outside maybe a couple of restricted free agents or maybe spending a little bit of money on a UFA that doesn't work out. You can't miss on a lot of these things this summer.
No, I heard your conversation. I think it was your conversation with Monahan yesterday, and
Pat and Eric talked to him.
Okay, the speculation that maybe it was the two young guys and the contracts that spelled the end. I don't see that connection necessarily, but I agree with you. It's just another huge element to this off season that Treliving probably couldn't have expected. Because things have continued to come his way. I'm with you on some people question the timing. Brian Burke talked about it. You heard it on Primetime Sports. Yep. You got to go to your ownership. You have your meetings. You don't. Did Anaheim do it quickly? Yes, they did. But I think it was extremely clear that if he didn't get to the playoffs or lost early, he was going to be gone. So
right.
I don't have a problem with that. It allows Bob to find work if he can get it. It allows the Flames to do a full search. And also, I think it would be a bit of an awkward phone call or Skype or FaceTime to the ownership saying, can I please have $2 million for Bob Hartley not to coach the team? That you got to have those conversations.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Does Bob Hartley coach again this year?
I don't think so.
You're down on him maybe ever coaching again.
Yeah, in the league, yeah. I mean, remember, how long was it between Atlanta and the Flames? How many years was that where he was not even a candidate?
But he had...
It took the godfather of one of his kids to hire him back.
Slow down, Ryan. He has two or three qualities that in the right circumstance are extremely attractive. One, he's bilingual, and there is a team in this country that's a mandate. You have to be bilingual to be the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. And yes, I know they currently have a head coach, but he also clearly won a Jack Adams trophy within the calendar year, which, you know, some people will view as, you know, as attractive. The other part of it, too, is, you know, he has the possibility of being able to be in a meeting and going, look, I never had a goaltender. I never had this. I had a rookie GM. I'm not saying it's right, but I think there's some ammunition there that, you know, if Montreal, who he was, you know, in on that job when Therrien got it, and I know they're going to keep Therrien, at least they say they will, but Ottawa, that's not too far from his home if they don't get Bruce Boudreau. I know you guys didn't mention Minnesota because Torchetti's there, but they're apparently kicking tires too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he's back coaching this fall. I don't.
I'd take your money, but yeah.
I have to kind of agree with Rob. I don't know if it'll be this fall, but I think for sure he coaches again. He just won a Jack Adams. I don't think there's a Ted Nolan scenario here where you win the Jack Adams and then you're blackballed for 15 years.
If you really dug on some of the issues that were behind the scenes, the greatest concerns that the Flames had, and you got to that, would you hire this guy?
But you have to be in a pretty bad spot.
I mean,
what are those things, Ryan?
I think there's a lot of people that really don't like him as a human beyond just the coach.
Yeah, but I mean, I go to work every day, and I, you know, there's not a lot of people that love me as a human being either. I think those things are, you can get past those things. One of the things you can't deny is that he came in and inherited this team at a very pivotal point and guided it to this point. His 4 years was not a disaster, guys. It wasn't. Now, it's time to move on. I have no problem with that. But he had to say goodbye to some legends here, and he had to change the culture and give that room a direction, and he did that. Now, it may have slipped this year, but he certainly did that. And if I'm his agent, if I'm Bob Hartley, if I'm a GM, and I'm looking for a guy to come in and do that, yeah, he's got a lot of things that are attractive. And I think we got to get past this, well, we want to hire our next coach, and he's going to be our coach forever crap. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think anybody looks at it that way. I think if you can get two contracts out of an NHL coach now, you're probably pretty happy.
It always comes back to me to a certain extent. How important is the coach? Because you can be fundamentally sound and have a great game plan. How good's your team? Right? I mean, how good's your goalie? How good's your team? Quenneville, very smart coach, great coach. Yeah. And he does have a very good team. I don't know that Joel Quenneville or, I mean, who else do we want to talk about? Some of the best active goalies, Mike Babcock, would they have done a night and day different story
just
here?
Like you said, Dan Bylsma walks into Pittsburgh, who's on the cusp of being a Stanley Cup winner.
Yep.
It's not a slight against him. It's a circumstance that he was put into, and it's great for him. Is he a great coach? I don't know.
I don't know.
You
either.
Coach what you got, right?
Yep. Yeah, you do. You do. And
was Lindy Ruff a great coach from 96 to whatever? Well, the late 90s? It was very easy to coach in Buffalo.
Yeah.
There was a guy that made a lot of things go away, right?
You had to fill one spot on the roster card and you were set.
Yep.
Gerard Gallant was a disaster as a coach in Columbus, shows up now in Florida with some very good young players. A Calder Trophy winner and a good goaltender and some young...
Yep.
Oh, well, did he get that much smarter? Or is
it
just...
Well, I mean, to me, the classic example is, and the guy I just tried to fire is Therrien, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we learned a lot about the Montreal Canadiens this year. And the guy that deserves to be the MVP of the NHL this year is Carey Price, because we learned exactly how important he was, because they were an unmitigated disaster without him, right?
Tire fire, yeah. Worst team in the league since he got injured, right?
Right. They were.
Tied for first at the time of his injury.
Well, Rhett's putting his hat in.
Rob, can
I
you,
don't know if we can,
couple good
can we count on you for comments? Support? This is like the politics.
Well,
can you,
can I put I you voted down? For, I voted for Rhett for NHL 17.
Good.
Can I use
so
you as
I'm
a
on
reference?
Board with that.
That's right.
Of course, I mean, I apologize. Something happened with the email, so I never got the address for the draft lottery party last week, but that was just a typo and a clerical error. So, of course, Of course you can count on my support.
It's good to know.
You know, now, is it just you, Rhett, or are you taking these guys too? I mean, are you a staff?
You got to build assistants, right?
Well, once they give me my budget, I'll start to compile my team. I mean, these are some high-priced
Keep Marty? You keeping Marty?
You're giving Jelena the boot.
Well, no, because if he just scored that goal, we would have didn't.
What have you done for me lately?
Thank you, Rob. We look forward to...
Can I just one thing before I go?
Of course, you guys
have been talking about it all morning. Just thoughts and prayers and everybody up in Fort McMurray. Really tough to watch my old neighborhood burned over this morning. I know the Red Cross, redcross.ca, people can donate, but I also encourage people to, in the coming days, we're going to learn about more things that we can do and more resources that are needed. And this is going to be a huge undertaking to rebuild up there. But I know that we are the, you know, when things get serious and people need a break, this is where they come. So we want to respect that, but certainly want to thank you guys for everything you're doing this morning and certainly raising that cause and the awareness for that, because it's truly a disaster of epic proportions that, you know, when we saw in Slave Lake a number of years ago and how devastating it was there, and it's looking like this might even be worse. So I'm certainly thinking about everybody up there today.
Well said. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Rob Kerr. We'll be back at the helm of the big show this afternoon. We'll come back with the Pinder Report, and we'll sneak in a little time for you with what you want to talk about. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, I lost my heart on the day we met, but I gained a lot that I don't regret.
Oh, man, we got a lot to do here.
Then I hung around till you said I
8:52.
I'm not staying late.
I knew I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you.
The Drinky Randy Travis is our artist of the day.
Drinky, drinky. Apparently, I was a drinky, drinky.
Yeah.
9 o'clock hour, drinky, drinky.
Don't remember talking to someone.
There you go. Coming up, we're going to do what you want to talk about. Pinder Report. Remember Mike Francesa?
Yeah.
Our boy, New York talk show host.
What are you crushing?
You crying? You crying, Will?
Well,
then we had him crushing the Islanders, being a third rate organization, can't do anything. Can't do anything right.
Wayne Gretzky, the greatest player.
Yeah.
That's the same guy, yeah. Well, Rick DiPietro has a radio show or a web podcast.
Yeah.
And he went after Mike Francesa and said, listen, you old loser.
Called him fat.
Rick DiPietro, you called him fat.
Ooh.
So he stuck up for his former team. Francesa heard the DiPietro blast. Responded. Audio.
This week, a little hot on the Islanders for a couple of reasons. And it got back to me that their ex-goalie, who does a show with Alan Hahn, I don't know what the name of the show is, Hahn and Humpty. You know, he said some disparaging things about me after I attacked the Islanders. I didn't say anything about him. Obviously, I wouldn't pay much attention to him. But now that he's in my business, and I use this in quotes, competition, we giggle. Here's a guy shooting his mouth off at a show that beats him. Now, you should understand this. This would be like basically your typical night Nets, 7.5-1. All right, 8-1 in a normal book. Just shut your mouth and be happy you got a job to find somewhere to go every day. From what I understand, you play goalie better than you do the radio, which isn't saying much. And now the Islanders are winning, now that you're basically shooting your mouth off on the radio. Stick to, you know, a league you can compete in, and tackling me in the radio business, you know, you're you, and I'm Gordie Howe. So, you know, clam up, please. And maybe you can go to the game tonight and cheer. Get a little pom-pom, go sit there. And listen, like I said, I'd be rooting for, if I'm DiPietro, I'd be rooting for a team that's paying me $1.5 million, which isn't bad money, through 2029. For doing absolutely nothing. The happiest day of their life was getting out from under that 15-year mess.
Oh. He's the Pope, Mike Francesa, giving him the beatdown. I think Rick DiPietro will probably have something to say about that. Right now, it is time for the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
Hi, and always at the Pinder Report, run, Pinder Report, run.
It was the night of the comeback last night, gentlemen. I don't know if you noted this, but every game that we featured, including some you might not even know existed that were watched by many, involved the comeback of some sort. So why don't we start with Brooklyn? Best thing they ever did was get out from under that contract. 15 years? Of course he's running this month. They got Cody Howe. Hockey? We'll start there. Islanders hosting Game 3 of the Atlantic Division Final. It was 2-2 through 40 before a wild third period. Let's pick it up with the Islanders leading 4-3. Dying seconds of the game. Islanders are winning this thing, right? Right?
Bruin, look at things over. Swings it in front. Kucherov! Kucherov! 4-4 with 38.4 seconds left!
38.4 seconds left. God, that's a bad call. Kucherov, very good. Very good. To overtime, let's see if we can find a Michigan free goal call. Overtime.
Boyle stepping in. Five balls dropped it off for Callahan. Here's Hedman. Shoots. He just missed. Rebound. Boyle scores. Brian Boyle wins it for Tampa Bay.
Ah, Dave Randorf. Thank you very much. Lightning win. They now lead that series 2-1. That's two in a row after the Islanders took the opener. They've stolen home ice back. Kucherov's late tally, his seventh of the postseason. That is a postseason leading total. Who's going to get paid this summer? Kucherov, an RFA.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Man. That man need lots of money. One of the reasons Stamkos won't be back. Bishop will be on the block. Kucherov, one of numerous RFAs in the coming years. Just the second playoff game-time goal in the final minute for the Lightning, stretching all the way back. The only other one. 0-4. Did it to Montreal en route to crushing Rhett's dreams in his third Stanley Cup final. To Nashville we go.
Is
Sharks
that,
opening
now, is
talent.
That necessary? You're going after Hartley. You're just, my. You called him an awful human.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I said people weren't fond of the
probably
human.
Find I'm that pretty sure there's some tape where.
Okay.
Carry on.
Tell me I'm wrong. Please do that. It was in the lovely stat pack here, though. I just thought. Oh,
about Hartley being an awful human?
No, no. The thing about, the game-time goal in the final minute.
No, about Rhett Warner losing a third.
No, it just happened to be an 0-4 when, third time's a charm, you'd think, and maybe if they count that Jelena goal. But
hey, Ryan.
It's the bane of his existence.
You know that
there.
Words hurt.
Very hurtful?
Words hurt.
All right. To Nashville we go. A Sharks opening tally from Patrick Marleau in the first, but that was it from the visitors. Preds score 4 in a row. They win 4-1. They now trail 2-1 in the series. Another factoid, not to do with Rhett. They've never trailed 3-0 in a series. Three times Preds have been down 2-0. Three times they've responded with a Game 3 win. And to St.
Louis.
Ah, the Stars. What a great start for moments.
Blues.
Colton Sevier buried his second of the postseason, but after that, it was all Blues.
Brower to Stastny. To Steen. They score. They tie it up. Blues go to the blue line. Shattenkirk. Slap shot. Score. Backus.
One, two, three, four, five, six for the St. Louis Blues and the Stars. Oof, yuck. Three past Niemi, three past Lehtinen. I'm not sure they can win this series with either of those two boneheads in net. Who is next on the depth chart? Is it someone with four limbs? Put him in. I believe Jack Campbell, you said, called up, waiting in the wings.
Oh, yeah, get him in there.
Been a while for Jack Campbell. We thought he'd be there by now.
Brent Cron?
Well, Brent Cron, too. What about Croner? See Croner? Is he down there? I see him around town. He can't be still in Texas.
He's got gear, right?
Of course he's got gear. Yeah, because he's always the guy that goes when the Flames go. Hung over something, right? Yeah.
Brent Cron?
David Backus, if you need him, 3-game winning goals this postseason. The only other Blues ever to have 3-game winners in the same postseason. Brett Hull did it twice.
Brent Cron?
No, not Brent Cron. It was Brett Hull and Scott Young in 2001 as well.
Whoa!
Yeah, some old names. Scott Young for you. Hey, remember him? No?
Nah, you remember him a little bit, yes.
Remember the name. Couldn't pick him up a line. Other NHL news, Chris Letang missed Game 4 against the Caps, a 1-game suspension for his interference bump on Marcus Johansson in Game 3. Big loss to the Penguins. 29 minutes a night. I think I'd be taking the Capitals in Game 4, knowing their most, I don't want to say their best player, but their most valuable. We've seen them win without Crosby. We've seen them win without Malkin. your 29 minute of the night blue liner with Ole Matta already dinged up, that's a guy that probably hurts him the most. No? Take him out of the lineup for one night?
No question. It's going to be another
Matt Murray.
Going to be another big night for Matt Murray.
Going to face some rubber. The league announces three finalists for the NHL Foundation Award. Mark Giordano, the Flames captain, one of three finalists. He and Matt Martin and PK Subban, Brent Crown, the nominees, the NHL Foundation Award. Of course, the one, Rhett, that is for...
Yeah, that's the...
You Google it.
The player who applies the core values of hockey. Commitment, perseverance, teamwork, enriching the lives of people that live in their... Congrats to Gio. Well, it sounds somewhat backhanded, I suppose. Back to the comebacks. To baseball we go. Baseball seeing the Jays and the worst bullpen on earth in action the last little while. They're looking to bounce back after another bullpen loss in the opener against Texas two nights ago, and it looked like the same script last night. Jays couldn't cash runners for their lives. 0 for 9 with runners in scoring position. Seemingly wasting a solid start from Marco Estrada, who allowed just one run. And then, of course, there's heartburn-inducing Brett Cecil running out of the bullpen to the mound. Everyone's greatest fear in the first 2 months of this baseball season. He gives up two singles, one out, two men on. They go to Osuna in the eighth inning. He continues to be nails. Five pitches, a double play. Jays dodge the bullet. Good thing they did.
The 1-2 pitch driven to left center field deep. Long run for Ian Desmond. Still running. He's at the track. He jumps. There she goes.
Smoke then would hit another in the 10th. It is a game-tying and then a game-winning home run in the same game. First two of the year for Smoke. Nice rally for the Jays. But again, the bullpen and the offense remain glaring issues at this juncture of the season. They are 13 and 15.
They're doing great.
130-some to go.
Oh, they're good.
Wasn't the only comeback for a Toronto sports team. Raptors in trouble in the fourth quarter, down as many as 10 to the Miami Heat. But got themselves close enough to tie it with a shot from midcourt, maybe?
Good! Kyle Lowry good from center court!
Yeah, Lowry ice cold all night, but hits that one to force it to overtime. They get clubbed there. More on the Raptors, the J.D. Bunkus, shortly after 9 o'clock.
I'm Mike Lowry.
No, it's Kyle Lowry. So there's your Pinder Report. Heat win game one, and Milo shall be playing.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
It's just terrible clock management. You know how you hear some NFL coaches? You know, it's like clock management's terrible. It's already 9:03, and we haven't...
Are we done? Because I took my headphones off.
Yeah, I know you turned your headphones off. You've been gone for 5 minutes.
Is that just the Pinder Report you do that? Is that courtesy?
I zoom. Thanks. I was reading about...
Yeah. Let's do the thing, Jay. If we could do the thing, Jay.
There's the Hot Waves website.
And Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Buy a new vehicle today with 0% financing, rebates, and discounts over $15,000. Or buy a new Jeep for only $14,928. Go to varsitychrysler.com.
That sounded great.
The extra there?
Yeah, a little jumpy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Well, you've got...
this thing is updating.
You've got... because Warner doesn't know what's going on. He's signed out.
Well, it's
a good 10 minutes ago.
10 after 9, and we're doing what you want to talk about.
I was surprised.
Poor Pinder. The Pinder hour is getting crushed right now. He's got a lot on the go.
You got 13, 15. It's like you're hammered. It sounded like you're half in the bag. That's 13, 15.
We do have beer in studio in 20 minutes if you want to keep that rolling.
960. 960 on your mobile phone. Boomer, why do you hate on Hartley? I don't hate on Hartley. That was Pinder.
Come on now. I
don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but it was Pinder who hated on Hartley.
I don't think anyone was hating on Hartley.
Good job.
Boom. I'm going to have 41 Coors Light signed Randy Travis.
Do it.
That's not nice.
Do it at church.
Can you guys give a shout out to the first responders and residents in Fort Mac? They need it. Absolutely, 100% agree. good people. It's
heartbreaking.
Again, I want to be somewhat of a distraction, if at all possible. We continue to do the goofy, dumb stuff that we do, but certainly it's hard to think about anything else. Hey, fellas, yesterday Pinder mentioned that a player has it written in his contract he won't accept a trade to a Bob Hartley coached team. What's up with that? Can you elaborate?
That was Braden Colvin, right? That's what we'd heard. The deadline 2 years ago.
That is the rumor that is going around. I have no idea if it's even allowed.
It says something about his feelings towards Bob, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of work to go to.
Love how you guys have filled the 8 o'clock hour much better. I don't know. What do we do?
We were always on during the eight.
We talked.
We've been here at the 8 all forever.
Listen to the breath intakes of the Tampa play-by-play guy as he's screaming. It's terrifying.
I don't need to hear that.
Well, if you're going to wail like that, you got to...
load the gun.
You got to get some air in the engine there for sure. What about Bob Bugner for coach?
I don't know much about Bob. He's had a good little thing going out in the O for a while.
No, he's in San Jose.
But he ran Windsor for a while, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had a good...
He owns it. Part owner.
Oh, there he is.
Both Burke and the GM want a bigger, tougher team. You guys constantly praise Hamilton. I think they're shopping him. He gets out-muscled constantly. Well, I'd be very interested to hear the sources that they would be shopping less than a year after they've traded for him and gave him a big, fat contract.
Make no mistake. They want to get bigger and tougher, but you need to have skill as well. Yeah. Skill wins.
There's a fine line, yes. It's not going to be 18 Brian McGrattans.
It was Nicky Six who OD'd and was revived a couple times, not Mick Myers. Well, thank you to the Motley Crue fan club.
Don't think we said it was Nicky Six. I think we said it was Slash.
Well, I was reading Slash's book, and I thought it was in there. I could be completely wrong. Either way, some long-haired metal guy had to be revived a couple of times from being dead. Boomer, why do you hate Bob Bugner?
I don't hate Bob.
You do.
Why do you hate everyone named Bob? Remember you were my brother a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Just hates all Bobs.
Bob hates me. That's how it started. I don't know your brother.
No, he just hates
you. Your brother came after me.
He wondered if anything post-70s you'd ever played. So
now that Hartley is gone, I wonder if Glenn Cross will come back.
What about Mika? Is he coming back, Rhett? Got any scoops there?
Keeper.
Need a goalie.
Who is this Troy Tulowitzki? A 189 average? Good God almighty.
Seriously.
Gas him.
Feel free to double that.
There used to be some guy. Okay. Randy Johnson smoking that bird should always be on every sports broadcast all the time.
It's a very incredible highlight.
It's a radio show for sure, so I don't know how much that would do for you. But what we're going to do right now is we have guests coming in.
Looks like they're ready to go, boys.
And I've mismanaged the clock poorly. But one more time, guys, to everybody up near, around northern Alberta, Fort McMurray, we're thinking of you. And as Rob said, I know in the days and weeks to come, there's going to be ways that we can help out. I know that all of Calgarians and people, you kind of ache for them and want to do so much that you can to help. But at this point, you can text. What is it? 303. What's the number there? So I'm sorry, Ryan.
30 and then 333.
30333. Type in Red Cross, and that will be your $5 donation.
And they'll text you back and make sure you confirm it. You type back yes. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Easier than texting this show almost.
Stay positive, stay strong. We'll join you again tomorrow morning. Have a good Wednesday. Sportsnet 960.
What do you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder? Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Buy a new vehicle today with 0% financing, rebates, and discounts over $15,000. Or buy a new Jeep for only $14,928. Go to varsitychrysler.com.
You're flat-footed.
Exploded bag of garbage.
Zoom, zoom.
Hey, Pat, f*** off.
What a bunch of
I shit my pants last night.
Poopy.
Scary.
Regis.
Who's Rob Kerr?
I have no shoes on. I'm sorry.
Vodka beep.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You have got to be kidding me.
You're a ball.
You're a loser. You've always been a loser.
Dead deer.
Thank God no one's listening to this.
I'm a giraffe.
How's your dog?